Welcome to the Playbook. I'm David Meltzer here with an amazing guest. She's an entrepreneur from My Elk. She is a real lawyer, a recovering lawyer. We're not really sure what type of lawyer she really is, but Poonam Mukar is here, and she has an amazing do well to do good company called Weird Wheelchair Blankets. Welcome to the Playbook, Poonam.
Thank you, David. Such an honor to be here.
It's an honor to have you. It's so interesting because as a woman of color, as a lawyer, you have already overachieved what other people's self-image is. And I've had all these different shows with entrepreneurs, and women of color give meaning to their own limitations that I find very frustrating as a father of three unbelievable entrepreneurs, a husband of an entrepreneur. And there are disadvantages that are equating, especially in capital and financing, but you've been able to overachieve somehow all of these limitations that others put on you. And so I was wondering, to start off, coming from where you come from, you know, what were some of the differentiators in your mindset when you were going to school, when people were laughing at you, scoffing at you, making fun of you, telling you you can't do it, which still occurs? What was the mindset that we can pass forward to, you know, these amazing young women of our future?
Yeah, David, I mean, it's a really interesting question, but yeah, we've all had, you can't do this. I had a school teacher tell me in London, you're never going to be a lawyer, you're so shy. And now when I speak publicly, I'm like, okay, well, that's not true. But for me, I think it's the thing that I've instilled in my kids. I'm very honest and realistic. You are of color, and knowledge is power. I mean, you just have to keep working really hard, putting one foot in the front of the other. I remember being a family law lawyer, not being, but when I was practicing law, but I used to have older attorneys put me down, and I, thinking that I didn't know what I was talking about when I tried to negotiate, and then I used it as my superpower. I used to stay quiet, do what I needed to do, and at the end of it, would win a case because people underestimated me. So I think it's a lot of mindset, and just, I really do believe knowledge is power.
Quitting is the ultimate form of failure. It's one of my lessons that I teach, that things take a long time, and then all of a sudden, but 98% of the people on earth that have heartbeats are quitters, period. They are drifters and quitters, and when things get hard, it's too hard, and they quit. The most challenging times that I have are good times, because everybody's playing in my park. I play in a really tough park, and when things are good, everybody can play in my park. When they're bad, nobody wants to play in my park, and I hit it out of the park,
right?
Because there's no competition, and I continue to be prepared. In your journey, have you ever felt, with all the challenges and hard times, personally and professionally, that you've had, like quitting?
You know, David, it's a really interesting question because it's something I've had to reflect on recently. Quitting was never an option for me up until 2 years ago. My kids had graduated, and when you cross mid-century and you're starting...
I've been there.
And you're starting two new businesses, it's challenging. It's a different challenge, and I think running a law firm, I was very, very fortunate. I ran a seven-figure law firm, never advertised, everything was through referral. But when you start something new, it's a whole different game plan, platform, and your why changes. Before, it wasn't an option because I had two young kids, I was a single mom. But now there were moments, and I know I've had conversations with you, and you're just like, keep putting one foot in front of the other. And that's what I constantly tell myself. And quitting is never an option, but when you have those moments, it's remembering your why. Why are you doing this? Why did you choose to do this? Nobody forced me to do anything. I chose to give up, you know, 3/4 of my practice and pursue, because my why is I want to make a change in the world.
And I love the fact that you understand the legs feed the lion. that you have the skills and the knowledge of an extremely powerful and successful lawyer, but you're expanding into two other different ventures. One, helping people understand the subtleties of success and the dummy tax that so many people pay in the ultimate emotional experience of divorce. And then two, the wheelchair blankets.
Yeah.
Completely different adventures, which, you know, people always look at my career, the eclectic career of David Meltzer, and they're like, how the heck? I know how you're doing it, but I'm more interested in the harmony that you've created, knowing where to put your intention via time, whether it be practicing, I believe, your expertise today is immigration law.
That's right.
And or specialty, as they say, to the divorce consultative services and the impact that that's having. And then finally, your passion project of these wheelchair blankets. How have you determined the harmony of being able to facilitate, which means to make easy, what other people can't achieve with just doing one of those?
I think a lot of it is, I'm still learning to be a student of the calendar, but I think a lot of it is just planning it out to the degree that you can. And truthfully, just focusing on each thing for each business that you need to and fitting it into the calendar accordingly. And I'm probably working just as hard as I was when I was an attorney, but it doesn't feel that way because it's something I'm so passionate about. And when I see making strides, although I always say it's never fast enough, but when I start seeing that I am making strides, it gives me the means to keep going, and it just doesn't feel like work. And I'm in a different phase of life. Don't have kids around, I'm not cooking every day, all that kind of stuff. But I just have more time and more focus in doing what I need to do.
And to that end, one of the quantitative things that has changed for me as a business consultant, advisor, teacher, mentor, and coach is understanding emotional expense. Whether it be employees that I had, to look at quantitatively how emotionally expensive they are by determining how many hours of interference are they creating in my day. How much do I make an hour? Which is even easier for a lawyer.
Right.
As you know, not quite as easy as a coach or a mentor in the divorce consultative services, or especially as an entrepreneur in the wheelchair blanket. It's very difficult to put a price on or a quantitative analysis on your hour, but you can. You're in three very emotionally expensive ventures. No doubt in immigration law today,
yeah.
It has to be extremely emotionally expensive to deal with people in divorce. It has to be extremely emotionally expensive. And then a startup that is helping people in wheelchairs is also emotionally expensive. Just being an entrepreneur is emotionally expensive, but added on what you're doing. What happens when your life itself becomes an emotional expense on top of three different emotionally expensive ventures?
So then you go back to basics, right? I wrote the book about how I healed my own 4 decades of trauma.
What's the name of the book?
Safe from the Pain.
Mm-hmm.
Based on decisions that I made for 4 decades of my life because I had unresolved trauma and I just kept following certain patterns. And no knock on therapists, therapists didn't work for me. If you can't be honest with yourself, how are you going to be honest with therapists? So I went back to basics and sat there and devised this safe method to heal myself 4 decades of the trauma, and it didn't happen overnight, and I still use it as a go-to tool. People, I use it in work, I use it in business, I use it with my kids when they're going through things, and it's hard, but I really do think it's about giving yourself the space and the grace to not deny what you're feeling, but go through what you're feeling. And when you can do that, it doesn't happen overnight. Some things I can get over in 2 minutes, and other things take me a week. But I pivot from there, and I think that's the skill, to be able to pivot from those feelings, recognize them, and pivot from them.
Yeah, or promote from them. I love that difference. Pivoting somehow is beyond the indication that I feel exists within the learning of this protection or promotion that occurs. So you have these two successful businesses in, you know, being an author, being a mom, having your law practice, having this divorce consultative service, which there's so many subtleties of success that I want to elevate the awareness to companies for their employees. You know, when over 50% of the people are divorced, this already should be a great industry, but also combined with what happens to people financially, emotionally, throughout the process, in conjunction with the legal process that so many people are unfamiliar with. Even people who have been divorced 2 and 3 times still have the same problems in that. But here you are in that situation as a mom too, and somehow you decide to start this wheelchair blanket business. Why?
So every one of my businesses has started from my personal experience. I didn't want to go into immigration at all, but I was an immigrant from the UK, and I've seen my parents immigrate, and it was an easy thing to do while raising the kids. Divorce, I've been divorced. I'm passionate about it because I've represented clients professionally. I'm also a mediator, and I've seen the nuances and where clients get stuck, and it's usually emotions rack up the legal bills. The wheelchair is also a personal experience from my mom. My mom had a brain hemorrhage unexpectedly in October 2022 when she was on vacation in India. And we all flew down, and long story short, after a month, we had her brought back to London, and she spent close to a year in a wheelchair. She had less than a 1% chance of surviving. She is a miracle. She was a nurse her whole life that worked in a geriatric ward, was on the board of trustees for a very reputable hospital in England. And she was someone who always took pride in what she wore, and she was raised in British boarding schools. So she was all about, you know, you dress correctly, you wear what you do, you wear appropriate clothing. So when we used to take her out, in the wheelchair to get some fresh air, we'd get a regular blanket and it would get stuck in the wheels, and then we'd come home and it would have to go in the washing machine. And for my dad or the carer, it was an extra step. And I was like, there's got to be something else out there. So I went to look on Amazon, and I remember we were going out to a restaurant, and there was just these plain old things out there. And I wanted something nice for my mom to have, like when she's sitting there. And when I looked on that, there was nothing. And then it took me back to a time in, both of my kids have had very life-threatening illnesses where I've come close to losing both of them at different times. And the last time in 2019 at CHOP, when I walked down, I realized that there are a lot of kids there that aren't gonna leave. And I was the fortunate one who was able to take my daughter home. And I was like, there's got to be something. I just started digging deeper. There's got to be something for kids, that with Spider-Man or Batman or whatever it may be, a character that they like. And there's nothing out there. And it just blew my mind that we have covers for our car seats that you can pick. We have, vests and luxury designer things for our pets. But why do we not have them for people that are physically challenged? And I refused to believe that was the case. And the more I kept digging, there was nothing out there. And I wanted to change it. I wanted to equate when people, like my mom at that time, when she was recovering, have limited choices. Why are we limiting them even further? And given the rising of the aging population, we're all going to end up there. So why should we not have choices? Why are we eliminating people that have contributed so much to society in different ways?
And the wheelchair blankets go beyond design, though, with the licensing available and different types of exquisite luxury materials that can be utilized. True design, though, for me, in a more pragmatic way, what blew me away with the wheelchair blankets was the practical sense, beyond being something that's aligned with the personality and the emotions, to be something to be proud of, like a beautiful scarf.
Right.
That's the way that I see it when I look at what you've done. But it's very pragmatic. You talked about the inefficiencies and the design of most blankets. They're not designed to take outside. unless it's laying on a beach.
Right.
They're not mobile. They get stuck in things. They get extremely dirty.
Yes.
It's unhealthy.
Yeah.
And they're not effectively keeping people warm as well. What are some of the design, the more pragmatic design aspects beyond the luxury of the Spider-Mans and Batmans that are there?
Yeah, so it's a lot of the wheelchair blankets out there are just blankets. So the bottom of the blanket has a mesh so that you don't, you know, people can wear their shoes in it and you don't have to keep sticking it in the washing machine every time you come back. The other thing is the Velcro. We've got a Velcro strap in the middle, because like my mom, when she was wearing a catheter, you have the pack, but it's hard to fit in anything else. This way the Velcro adjusts accordingly, and according to your size, it will adjust according to the wheelchair size, the straps will, which makes it more functional and more efficient.
Yeah, it's definitely functional, efficient, and effective, as well as extremely aligned with the emotions of the person who needs to feel good.
Right.
And when we feel good, we do well. And that's what Poonam has been doing her entire career, overachieving by helping others and others helping others. I am so impressed by you as a person, a parent, and an entrepreneur. It's such a pleasure to work with Poonam Bukar. Check out Wheelchair Blankets if you need help in the immigration or with your divorce. There's nobody better out there than Poonam Bukar. This is David Meltzer with Entrepreneurs, the Playbook.